There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, that's how we get started on this Midday Mobile, live local talk over the next couple of hours. Glad to have you all along. Hey, I'm Sean, and let me do this. We'll go to hour number two and then bring it right back to present time. Hour number two, starting off at 105, Director of Alabama Marine Resources, Scott Bannon, joins us. The rumor mill has been cranked up from yesterday afternoon through now about an early end to the Alabama snapper season this year. It is coming. An early end is coming. When and why? Well, that's what we'll talk about with Director Scott Bannon, 105 today, right here at Midday Mobile. So that's on the to-do list. This hour, it's a conversation that I've had. I've had a conversation with this man many times in a lot of different capacities, but it's one here with just 20 days left until Election Day. My guest this hour, former Alabama State Senator, candidate for AL1 in the Republican primary, Bill Hightower, joining me in the studio. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Sean. Glad to be with you. Hello, 106.5 audience.
And say there's a lot to talk about today. I want to first of all just go through the 30,000 foot view thing that you've been campaigning since when?
Gosh, you know, we started out thinking we were only going to have to campaign 8 months.
And now that's what I'm getting to.
Yeah, it's been 12 months.
Yeah.
But it's been good. You know, it gives us an opportunity. It's been a bit of a stretch for us. But we're glad to see the finishing line, and I trust it's going to stay that way. I talked to the Secretary of State, said, is there any chance of moving it again? He said, not at all. That's the latest it could be and still be legal.
And actually, when Secretary of State Merrill did that, I thought that was pretty smart back then. I know it's tougher on the candidates, but instead of having to move and move like some other states have, we just went ahead and went to the last date possible.
Yeah, and what we've seen is that this election's not on people's mind. It's the press is not actively reporting it, and it's been real difficult to get the message out. We've had to use some new tactics. We've had to use a lot of social media, but we're confident that that's getting out, and people are really starting to take notice of it. And I could, just from my own personal observation.
Yeah, it's finally, I guess, at 20 days, T-minus 20 days. Yeah. Now it's time to...
And no forums, and no, you know, there's not any debates or anything like that.
You know, the idea of that, not being able to have those forums or debates, and also the fact that, I mean, if you're campaigning, while forums and debates are great, coming on Midday Mobile is even greater.
The best.
But there's a lot to be said for visiting with folks, being there firsthand.
Yeah, they want that, you know.
Going by and seeing this civic group or some other group, right, and sitting down.
Yeah, and going early, talking to them, staying late and talking to them. That's all a part of the relationship building, and that's what this is. You get to know people, they get to know you, make sure you've got a good record, a conservative record, thank goodness for our district. We don't have San Francisco or New York Valley values here.
Right.
And move it forward.
So, with that being said, the questions you get, I mean, there's the questions you got when you're on the campaign leading into the primary. But now when you get in where you're in this runoff and for this time, and I know you haven't been able to meet with everybody, but you've had access and through social media and others with voters out there. Does the tenor of the questioning or do the questions themselves change from the overall primary to this area where they've now, you know, the people have committed to two of y'all? Is it all about policy, or is it all about implementation, or is it about how you're going to win, or how do those questions change?
Well, all the above. The subject matter, though, has changed a little bit. Back when we first talked, AOC was a big issue, socialism. And now we've moved on to anarchy. We're moving on to the purposeful undermining of our president to make him fail in this coming election. I don't believe those polls that he's behind, but I'm going to work like he's behind because I want to get him elected. So to me, and a bigger issue is taking back the House, which I'm going to work hard to do after I'm elected. If I'm elected July 14th, to get out there and get other members elected across the nation so that we can have a Republican majority again.
You've said that, and you're one of many Republicans that have said that to me. And is there discussion within Republican ranks of a plan to do that? Because it seems like right now, if you watch National News Cycle, which I know doesn't mean what's true come election day, but it seems like a pretty tall mountain to summit there to get control back in the House.
It is a tall thing. But look, Garcia's House race in California was an excellent example. They can be turned. So what those candidates need are resources. So I've worked on a plan to funnel resources to those candidates that are close to tipping a Democratic seat. And that's what we need to do. I'll also go personally and campaign for them. But I think probably the biggest thing I can do is support them. I don't just support candidates in Alabama. I support candidates in other states, too.
You know, that's one of the things that we saw with Congressman Byrne. So he was elected and very quickly got himself on some pretty key committees for AL1. So I think part of that process, if we pull back the curtain, it takes some work for the party in general. Like, you get in there, and if you're going to get those key appointments, you got to help fundraise, you got to help other candidates.
Yeah, that's
just
really,
truth, right?
That's just truth, right? Got to have those relationships. I've been building them for years in order to get on the right committees to benefit District 1 and in Alabama. I've got relationships in Montgomery that will help with that. I think we're poised to really be a positive benefit to this district once elected.
All right, let's do this. We're going to come back. We're going to grab some callers and some questions here. I want you to also give people somewhere to go right now as they're listening to you. A website, Facebook page. Where should they go to get more information about Bill Hightower?
BillHightower.com is the website. You can sign up for updates and learn more about me. Facebook page is Bill Hightower for Alabama. We're having a great time campaigning, Sean. This is fun because you're reaching people. Go to those sites.
Thank goodness for folks like you and other people that run that think this is fun. Because I look at it from the outside. And
it's a calling, too.
There you go. All right, coming right back with Bill Hightower. And we'll grab your calls at 343-0106, 343-0106. Be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, guest in studio, candidate for AL1 in the Republican primary, former state senator Bill Hightower. And grab your calls and your text as well. You know, where your ears ringing, that on Tuesday morning we had a big discussion about you and Jerry Carl about the ads out there. And
Quinn Hillier was on there.
And he brought this up, and there's been a...
I like Quinn, by the way. I don't like his position on President Trump, but right. I like Quinn.
Well, I figured he was onto something when I saw his Facebook post, and then when it went on our page, and there were a lot of people who said exactly what you said, Bill. They said, I don't like his take on Trump, I don't like his take on this and that, but on this subject, I agree with him. And so I want to try to vet that out throughout the discussion.
Yeah, sure.
All right, to the phones, and let's go to Nathan in Fairhope is first up. Nathan, you're on with Bill Hightower.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
I got a question for Bill. So our Second Amendment is under attack, and it's really hard to, more difficult to buy a firearm these days. You've got to jump a lot more hoops than before. So how can I be confident that you support our Second Amendment?
Okay.
Well, you know, I had that question yesterday from somebody over in Baldwin County, too. Let me just say, Nathan, thanks for your question. I, too, am a gun owner. I have a concealed carry permit. I'm a lifetime member of the NRA. In fact, I'm the only candidate in this race that the NRA has recognized because of my strong Second Amendment stance. My candidate, my opposition candidate, Mr. Carl, has no anything from the NRA. So I hope that says volumes about my position on Second Amendment rights. And especially in this time of turmoil when there's anarchy going on, I'm really, really, really glad about that Second Amendment right. We've got responsible gun owners. We got people that use them for sport. And the people that own guns, as far as I'm concerned, they're some of the most responsible people on the planet. And we need to keep those rights intact.
All right, Nathan, appreciate the call. But let me ask this question as well. So when it comes to, when you get like an NRA endorsement, how does that come? Do they just you get a letter in the mail that says, hey, we decided, or how does that go down?
There's two ways. One is you answer a questionnaire, and then second of all, they look at your legislative history.
Your votes in the Senate.
Exactly. They look at my history. And this is the thing, Sean. I've got a record that's incredible that everybody can look at. You know, I have been strong on gun rights. I've passed significant legislation. I've supported it, both personally and in the Senate. Right to life. I'm the only candidate in this race that's been recognized by the National Right to Life Committee. They got involved. They saw what I did. My wife and I has worked for 40 years, and they said, we want to endorse you. So they got involved. So I've got a number, Alabama Forestry Association, a very conservative group in Alabama, they've endorsed me, and they're helping me in this run. So I've got a number of those groups that are supporting me, and I think this is all has to do with a record that people can observe. If the opposing candidate has no record, what is he going to run on? I've got a record to look at.
But how do you, you know, does the fact that somebody has not had a chance to vote on it mean that they aren't pro-life and they aren't pro-Second Amendment?
Well, we all know people that talk and don't walk the walk. I've got a record that shows that I can actually walk the walk. If there's an opposing candidate that has no activity to shut down abortion clinics when I've had 40 years of activity, that says a lot. When there's a candidate that has protected religious liberties at the state level and the other candidate hasn't, that says a lot. I've got a record.
All right, let's go back to the phones. And Patrick in Spanish Fort, you're on with Bill Hightower.
Yes, Sean, great job with Midday Mobile. Love this show. Senator Hightower, my wife and I followed your record when you were in Montgomery, and we saw a lot of good things out of you. My question for you today, though, is I saw that Jerry Carl is on the record for supporting higher taxes. And if elected to Congress, are you going to raise our taxes?
Well, look, Patrick, I've signed a no-tax pledge with the Americans for Tax Reform that says I will not raise taxes. But you know what? I fought every tax increase in Montgomery during my senatorial run service. My opponent has, of course, he's voted to increase taxes here in Mobile, but he's also said when he gets to D.C. he'll raise taxes as well. I'm not going to do that because here's the thing. We need limited government. Limited government needs, the more you feed it, the bigger it's going to get. And we need to contain the raising of taxes, make some hard decisions in order to align our expenses with our needs to get the limited government that we deserve. The highest priority is our military. One of the highest priorities is our military spending to defend our way of life. And that's under assault right now. We've got China that's a bad actor. And we've got a confused European community that doesn't know what it is that they should do. And we've got a weakened Russia because of the lower price of oil. And it's a great opportunity for America to be strong and show some real leadership. But, yes, I've signed a no-tax pledge, and I intend to carry that out. And I have a record in the Alabama State Senate as well that shows that I did so.
I appreciate the call. Come right back to the phones in a second. Got some coming in on the text line here. From Supermom says, does Mr. Hightower stand behind the Facebook PAC ads against Jerry Carl?
Could she be more specific?
Mom, if you can, I just make it more specific. I know we talked earlier in the week about Club for Growth ads. Their ads that's that pack. They are attacking your opponent, Jerry Carl, in this for a litany of things.
Yeah, so I don't know what ad in particular they're talking about. The Club for Growth, Mr. Carl went to interview with Club for Growth. He wanted their endorsement very badly. He didn't get it. The reason he didn't get it is because he's not a conservative in their view. They want lower taxes, limited government, school choice. These are all things a conservative would stand for.
Now, I was told that this litmus test, or the test from Club for Growth, asked questions specifically about AUSTIL or funding for military and the Farm Bill.
I don't know where that's come from. When I was there and I was interviewed and Mr. Carl was interviewed, I was asked nothing about AUSTIL at all.
Okay.
I've been a firm supporter of AUSTIL. I was with them on the phone today talking about how I'm going to help them when I get into U.S. Congress. I've helped them before in their dredge projects. I've been an avid supporter of AUSTIL along the way. But see, the thing is that this is a distraction. I've got the National Right to Life. I've got the NRA. These are outside groups that are helping because they want to advocate for a person who supports that. What we need to do is focus our attention on Jerry Carl and his record as a commissioner. The fact that he used county money, $10 million of it, to enhance a road in front of his property. Now, here's the thing. Okay. It was a dormant project for years.
Yeah, because this is something that started before Jerry Carl was ever in the position county commission.
Well, let me tell you, the county has dozens, hundreds of projects on the books, right? But why did it get activated? It was on the books 5 years. Mr. Carl got elected, and then he brought it up, and he also led the vote. Now, my time in the Senate would be that he would need to recuse himself of that vote because he benefits from it personally. He needs to answer the question, how much more value did he get because that big road expansion occurred, that $10 million road expansion? There's just something that isn't right about that. You don't vote on a bill or a measure that enhances your own personal wealth. You recuse yourself. I saw it happen over and over again in the Alabama State Senate.
You know, I saw this from, and your reaction would be important here, from Peter Albrecht said claimed that the project was dead for years, that county officials say pay-as-you-go projects often take up to a decade to complete from the time they're approved by voters.
Yeah, but why did Mr. Carl, who stand to benefit from the road expansion, why did he bring it up? Why didn't he have his colleague Connie Hudson bring it up, or Merceria Ludgood? And then why didn't he abstain from the vote? Because it enhanced his own personal wealth.
You know what kind of facility or what kind of property he has on Schillinger?
Yeah, it's a large commercial piece of property.
With a building or just...
Retail, I don't know what's in there. But he has an office in there too, but it's a big development.
All right, let's go to Jack in Daphne. You're on with Bill Hightower.
Let me come on. You spoke earlier, Bill, about your pro-life stance, and you hit a little bit on it. Could you clarify the positions on abortion between you and your opponent, Jerry Carl?
Well, all the candidates say they're pro-life, right? My difference is that for 40 years, since the marriage to my wife, Susan, in 1980, we've worked in the pro-life movement here with Save-A-Life, and Mobile was Save-A-Life back then. And then it's always been a focus for me. And because of that, when I got to the Alabama State Senate, I passed an amendment to make the sale of baby body parts illegal. You see, we had a situation where Eric Holder in Washington, D.C. refused to prosecute against Planned Parenthood. And I thought, well, if anybody does that in Alabama, we're going to lock them up. So I passed this law that does that. I voted 100% for pro-life laws. We got some of the toughest in the nation, and I'm proud about that. We need to stop abortion. I think it's something like 2,500 babies are murdered every day. It's awful. But also, I have fought for religious liberties in that I passed a bill making it illegal for our state government to shut down faith-based adoption agencies, because they want to place children in Christian families. And this has been a measure, I think, that is a very pro-life measure. But I'm most happy about the National Right to Life Committee's endorsement. Look, they don't endorse in primaries, hardly ever. But they looked at my record and they said, we need to endorse you. You're the real thing. So when you compare the candidates, compare one who's been a county commissioner who hasn't done anything to stop abortion in the district, and me who has tried to stop it and has limited it throughout the whole state.
Hey, Jack, we appreciate the question. We'll run to the news break and coming right back. More with Bill Hightower.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Continue our discussion with former Alabama State Senator, candidate for AL1 in the Republican primary runoff, Bill Hightower. Getting your questions answered. And this is your chance to talk to the candidate before July 14th. 20 days. That's it. 20 days. I think my math is right. 20 days between now and Election Day.
Sounds good to me.
All right, get to the phones and the text line. I would ask this first from the text line. It should be no surprise to Bill Hightower, who's been on the show with me for years and years and knows that things fiscal are the shiny baubles that catch my attention. Skip says, hey, I like the no tax pledge, but how would we pay down the huge COVID-19 debt added to stimulate the economy?
People don't want new taxes, and I'm the only candidate in this race that has fought tax increases in our state. The opposition candidate, he's voted for tax increases. He's also said he'll raise your taxes when he gets to Washington, D.C. If you start with the premise that you can't raise taxes, you have to make the tough decisions to be able to manage the debt. There are things like Medicaid fraud. There are businesses in Mobile that are fraudulent, that are using the Medicaid money improperly. There's the VA system, which is a good system, but I think we need to give our veterans more freedom to go to private doctors outside of the veteran system. It would save money by decreasing that. Also, say this. I got this idea from a veteran, so it's not my original thought. We need to put in the veteran hiring practices that they must give preference to veterans to hire to go into the VA.
To work in the VA.
Because they'll have empathy. And they will service our veterans better than these bureaucrats who've never served in the military and don't have any kind of empathy for the veterans. I'm going to advocate that when I get there.
So, and the trouble, I mean, looking at the House of Representatives, while there's, y'all will hold the, they hold the purse strings, but we're also looking at the fact that I think 70, maybe it's 80% of the spending's already decided before there's a vote.
I know, because the entitlements.
How do you unravel that?
That's going to be a tough one. And
we're addressing we could be as high as $5 trillion in debt. We know we're like $2.5 trillion already with this program, which I understand, you know, having no choice other than to do that to keep the economy running. But my gosh, we are so in debt.
It's not an easy, as we were talking, there are 22 civilizations in the history of the world, not one of them failed because of an outside enemy. They crumbled from the inside. So we've got to solve this problem. But let me tell you, you don't solve the problem by sending a non-conservative. We've got enough rhino career politicians up in Washington, D.C. That's why I supported the term limits bill in the state Senate and why I've also pledged to support term limits in Washington, D.C. Feel very strongly that we've got to implement that. Something has to change, and that's one thing we can change.
Would you, like you did it at the state level, would you put that in place that even if you pushed that bill through and you couldn't get, surprise, surprise, enough people to sign on to a term limit bill in the House, would you limit yourself?
Yeah, so maybe the colleague sitting next to me has been in there 30 years, and I've been in there 6 or 8 years, and I get out. Is that what you're saying? Without
law? Right, even if you can't change something there, do you yourself, Bill Hightower, put that limit on yourself?
I don't.
Okay.
And here's why. Because I would be doing this district a disservice if I did that. Because seniority matters. You got to get up there. You got to fight to get on the right committees and form the relationships. And if you're only going to be there 6 or 8 years, and maybe that's how long? I don't know. But if I arbitrarily say I'm only going to serve three terms, I'm going to do this district a huge disfavor. So I will move to get the term limits bill passed, and I think 80% or maybe it's 70% of Alabama Republicans want a term limits bill. So I'm in good company.
And probably the flip side in percentage in the House of Representatives want it. No. 1% in the House of Representatives, elected officials want that. All right, to the phones again. Craig is in Bay Minette. You're on with Bill Hightower.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Mr. Hightower, my question is, what will you do to secure more federal funding for the I-10 bridge, and do you support the use of tolls? Thank you.
Okay, let me just take the toll one. I'm against the toll on this bridge. That's just outrageous. We can't afford that. It would be the only tolled piece of road between California and Florida on I-10. It's not right. It's not fair. No, this has to be funded. And the federal government can fund a good amount, and they offered that. But the biggest amount of funding has to come from the state. And it's an issue of priorities. And what I want to try to point out to people is that we've got, I don't know, about 12-13% of the population in Mobile and Baldwin County alone, but we generate 30% of the state's tax revenues. We are the goose that laid the golden egg. And huge amounts of money comes out of Baldwin County to serve our state. That needs to be recognized. And they need to build that bridge, because if they do, they're going to help our commerce and not hurt it. I think
does that happen while, I got to ask you just a frank question, does that happen with Kay Ivey still in the Blunt Mansion?
Well, I think she loves this part of the state. She lived here.
Mm-hmm.
I think the northern legislators are the bigger challenge, you see. Our governor has to, work with the legislature, and if our delegation in the South can make enough noise and form enough of a coalition. You know, years ago, mayors from all of the states that are affected by this I-10 problem went up to Washington, D.C. I understand that Washington, D.C. had never seen such unity come out of a region of the U.S. For such a project like this. That's the kind of unity we need to have now. And the Southern delegation needs to drive it home.
I hope I could be so positive. I don't feel that... we'll see. That's a discussion for another day about the governor and her opinions about South Alabama. Deborah says here, if you could get the VA to pay a private doctor in a timely manner, that'd be great. It can't be done.
So. Well, I'm great it can't be done. People said I couldn't win when I ran for Alabama State Senate, and I won. I won with $100,000, and my opponent had $750,000. So... can't get it done. I appreciate the perspective, but the way you get change is by incremental change. You can't eat an elephant all at once. You eat it a bite at a time. And I think if we're going to defend our nation, taking care of our veterans is part of that. My son is a first lieutenant in the Air Force, and I'm very, very sensitive. I come from a military family.
All right, Tom, let's go back to the phones. And Gary is in Saraland. You're on with Bill Hightower.
Hey there, how you doing there, Sean? Long-time listener, first-time caller. I just had a quick question here for Bill. It was just concerning these recent doors. I've been seeing a lot of ads everywhere. I've seen a lot about Ted Cruz and the forestry endorsements. If you can really elaborate on that, like, what did you really have to do to get forestry endorsement here? Just go in depth on that for me, please.
Well, various procedures are in place. On forestry, I happen to know them. You see, they knew how well I worked in the Alabama State Senate. They're a very conservative group. They knew I was conservative. I was actually voted consistently among the top three most conservative Alabama State Senators. And so they knew me, and I had been interviewed by them before, and many of their members have too. So unfortunately, there's a lot of groups out there that don't ask you, they don't interview you, they just, plop down an endorsement. But I think everybody that has endorsed me, to my knowledge, has had a discussion, they've interviewed me, they wanted to make sure that I was really the true conservative candidate.
That answer, Gary?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Gary. Yes, more Shawnee Bobbles from the fiscal side here. did you, when state senator, ever vote to eliminate or reduce the sales tax on food in the state of Alabama?
Oh, man, that is a great question. I had as my plan in the implementation of the flat tax that I would repeal the grocery tax. Now, as a federal congressman, that I don't have any say in that.
Right.
But I have certainly advocated that. And the reason I want to is because, of course, it would help the consumers, but it also help our farmers. Our farmers are a tremendous part of our economy down here, and eliminating the grocery tax, I think, would be powerful. I really do.
I've often said it also would help the people who can least afford paying taxes.
Yeah, and it would hit the budget about $300 million. That's how much revenue they get from grocery tax. But, yeah, I have advocated for that.
All right. If you go to Washington and cut, are you cutting Social Security?
No. We've got an obligation to pay Social Security. We need to uphold our obligations. We need to think very innovatively and not cut that short. We're going to support and fulfill our commitment to our elder population in Social Security.
All right. This one, back to the Club for Growth here. Somebody showing a message here. Club for Growth. Okay, this is coming from your opponent here. Said, Club for Growth asked me to vote against legislation supporting Austell USA. I said no. Bill Hightower must have said yes. Why would Bill Hightower accept money from Club for Growth, a group opposed to Donald Trump and to South Alabama jobs? And we can separate those out, because the Donald Trump thing, too, I want to talk about. But Club for Growth, you and we talked about this earlier. You said you did not have any question from Club for Growth about Austell at all.
No.
No question. Okay.
No. So I don't know. See, this is unfortunate.
This is why we do this.
Because I know it is, but you got somebody imposing on me a question that was they said was asked that I didn't get asked. I have no indication that that wasn't just made up in order to make me try to look bad. That's bad politics.
They did not ask you that question.
They did not.
Okay.
What was the other part?
The other part of it, I'm interested, yeah, because I was actually, and I was talking about this with no offense, but I was talking about it in the Senate race. Because I was looking how Club for Growth went after Bradley Byrne, and watching that, and then remembering when we talked about it back then that Club for Growth in 2016 was working against Donald Trump. So does that tunes change now for Club for Growth? Does that mean anything to you? Then 2016 Club for Growth was allied against President Trump, or then primary candidate Trump.
My opponent was allied against President Trump in 2016. He didn't support President Trump at first. But the truth is this Club for Growth group, they are supporting President Trump to $100 million in this race. This Club for Growth is a distraction. I've already mentioned the Schillinger Road expansion. Mm-hmm. Without looking very hard, we found three instances where a county contract from Mr. Carl was let to a company, and they gave a big donation following that. We didn't have to look hard, Sean. It was right there. And we've made a release. We've identified the details. This is not hearsay. It's here the problem is. There are things being said about me. There's no detail. If you look at the mailers that we send out, we identify the source. Mobile County Commissioner Records, AL.com, maybe even Sean Sullivan. But we identify where the resource came from. That's not happening. Instead, I get these lies told about me that I moved millions of jobs to China and I worked for the Chinese.
Yeah, with a start. Yeah,
it was crazy. I didn't work for the Chinese, and I certainly didn't move millions of jobs over there. I had a photoshopped picture. Mr. Carl photoshopped a picture of me with a Never Trump button on. I was the only person in this campaign that campaigned for President Trump in 2016. Go to my Facebook page. You can see me. I'm in front of President Trump's bus. I'm talking about how we got to get him elected. My opponent didn't campaign for President Trump. So, look, I'm going to focus on the facts, and I've put them out there. But a lot of this is just distraction because Mr. Carl is not talking about his record. He needs to explain why he took huge donations from county-let contractors. He needs to explain why he voted to expand Schillinger Road, why he did that, that improved his property immensely. How much did it improve his property? He needs to explain why the county paid three times a property value of a project he was in charge of, and that person who sold the property is one of his biggest donors. These are troubling things. And look, I'm just putting them out there. Let people decide. But somebody needs to point this out. I'll promise you this. I'm going to point these things out in Washington, D.C. And I started this with a very positive campaign. People told me, Jerry's going to go for your throat. You better be careful. I said, no, he's not going to do that. 3 days after the primary, he drops a totally false lied ad at me. When you hit me, I'm going to hit you back. I got the backbone to do it. And I'll do it to Nancy Pelosi. I'll do it to anybody. Chuck Schumer up in Washington, D.C. as well. But this is where it starts. When you attack me and give a lie, I've got to respond and correct it. Look at the facts. There's no doubt these facts that I'm giving.
Quick break. And coming right back to wrap it up here with Bill Hightower, candidate for AL1 in the Republican primary.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:54, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. At our discussion with Bill Hightower, I want to get a couple more questions in here. We are running short on time, but there's a couple. Okay. I know, I keep going back to fiscal, but business things. This is good because I've been, you know, Bill, I've been asked about this when you've been on the show before and you talk about your time in business. Yeah. And people always say, well, what business was Bill Hightower in? And sure. Then you're gone. And I'm like, I don't know. You got to ask Bill. So what kind of businesses were you in? What specific business?
Well, I started out right after college working at Maslin Carpets. I was a credit manager up in Saraland. Then I went to get an MBA, and then after that I worked for Emerson Electric. They made electric motors for hermetic compressors. I managed a plant. I helped do supply chain work and strategy work. And then I went to work for Allied Signal, and in the automotive, that was supply chain work. Let's see, I went to Eaton Corporation, and there I worked on business development efforts. And right now I'm working for a manufacturing company. It's a coatings company, and we treat carbon steel to make it non-corrosive. It's kind of a specialized application. So I've been in manufacturing. I love manufacturing, but you know, I've been in farming. I've also been in medical. I've just have a lot of different industry experience. And, of course, I cleaned swimming pools when I was a kid, too. So got a lot of various experiences.
Well, good. There you go, Ken. So let's see, maybe time for one. Let's go to Leo in Mobile. Leo, we got about 2 minutes.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Mr. Hightower. I don't know if you remember me. Coach soccer at Murphy High School and had your sign on the team.
Hey, it's great to hear from you.
Great to hear from you. I've enjoyed your chat with Sean today, and I just wanted to call in and tell you I appreciate what you had to say.
Well, thanks for coaching my son, I tell you. Now, was that my youngest son or my old? What year was that?
He played basketball as well.
Oh, yeah, that's my oldest son, Will. Well, that's great. I will tell him that you called in. He's up in Birmingham. He's my favorite child, you know. He's got three of my grandkids.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
But I went to Murphy High School. All my kids attended Murphy. It was a great school.
Absolutely. Leo, we appreciate the call.
Thanks, Leo.
We got people holding, but it's not. We have just a few seconds left here, so let's do this. Once again, people want to get more information. I'm sure they just Google your name, but where are...
Yeah, let me encourage everybody to go to BillHightower.com to learn more about me, or the Facebook page, Bill Hightower for Alabama. And let me tell you, the dangerous pay-to-play politics that my opposition, Mr. Carl, has engaged in, I'd like to invite any business owners that have felt threatened or they've had this pay-to-play situation go on, please contact my campaign. Actually, it's already happening. People are getting in touch with me. So we want to stop that. This is our Alabama. We don't do pay-to-play. play. And I've got clear examples of why this is done, and I want to put a stop to that.
You have to come back in soon because we have to.
We don't want that in Washington, D.C. As well.
Well, we'll have to get that. Why do you do this to me at the end of an hour? All right. Coming back next hour. Appreciate your time, Bill. Thank you. Coming back next hour. Something nowhere near as contentious as national politics. Okay, I was joking. Snapper season is ending early. How early? Well, we'll talk about that with Director of Alabama Marine Resources, Scott Bannon, joins us coming up in about 7 minutes right here on Midday Mobile.